Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is our live prophecy reality edition. Once a week, we come here, we turn on the studio cam, we enter into the chat room, and engage the culture with our prophecy reality worldview weekly. Let's begin with a scripture, and that is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Words to live by. Okay, today, just wanted to let everyone know that Greg Szymanski, a little bit of First Amendment radio housekeeping here, I guess. Greg Szymanski, no, he's not dead. He actually appeared yesterday and did a broadcast at noon Pacific time, but whatever. And he was in the chat room, so if you're in the chat room, you can see that Greg was in there a lot with me. And I think one other person was in the chat room, but they didn't say anything at all. And that was it. Nobody else showed up. How sad. He does a premiere show and nobody shows up. But anyway, we're hopeful he's going to do another premiere Friday show, because he's decided to come back on Tuesdays and Fridays. So you can catch the rerun in the podcast there if you want to catch what he did yesterday. So anyway, trying to encourage him. I think he's still in Baja, Mexico, not California, but I guess that's Baja, California is Mexico. At least I think he's there. That's what it says in the live traffic feed that he was coming from. Yeah, anyway, you can read it there. He was in... It says Los Angeles and something else there, but it says Baja, California. But that's in Escondida. I believe that's Mexico. He's just over the border south of us here. So anyway, just giving you a heads up. He'll be back Friday. He decided to do two shows a week at noon Pacific time. So make sure you go to his website. I think it's greganthony.wordpress.com and give him some encouragement. Maybe he can get back in the groove. We will see. Anyway, let's see, what else do we have to talk about here? I think that's about it. I'm still working on my book. The Millennium Question, I think it's coming along pretty well. I don't really have a whole lot to share because now I'm kind of just rearranging and tweaking some things and working on the final chapters. But it's going to be good. There's a lot of new things that I haven't written before, a little more revelation, a little more insight into the millennial reign of Christ, I believe, and I'll keep working on it, because I haven't got everything in the book yet that God has revealed to me, because you have to put it in the right place in the book and then rearrange the book anyway. And that this is what it looks like. Like, if I went to the table of contents here, oh, is that even up to date? I don't know. Let's see. Update field. Update entire table. Okay, well, let's see what happens there. Okay. So anyway, I have... Chapter 1 is understanding the revelation. What is Bible prophecy? Dating the revelation, very important. We just went through that over last week's broadcast when I did a little debate with Chuck Baldwin. I haven't heard from Chuck yet. He did a show this week on false prophets, but it wasn't about me. It was a very good sermon he did on Sunday on the false prophets. Chuck's only problem is that he's blinded to the Antichrist working in the world, and because he doesn't recognize the Pope as the active Antichrist and as the historical and biblical man of sin. So still praying for him. I did send him a copy of my Beast Apocalyptic in a PDF form for his perusal, and hoping to straighten him out a little bit. And of course, I did send him my rebuttal on the millennium question, and especially the dating of the revelation. I hope he really takes it to heart, because he should be embarrassed because of the broadcast, or not the broadcast, it wasn't a broadcast, it was a sermon he did. And there's a few points where I would be embarrassed, and I'm kind of embarrassed for him, having a liking for him. But he wants to blame everything on the Jews and Zionism, when he doesn't realize that that's just another program that belongs to the Antichrist, or the man of sin, and his shadow government. It's a program they've been working on and will work on until the mystery Babylon is destroyed by the ten horns, when they burn her with fire. This is just one more of her projects that she continues to work on through her shadow government. Okay, so anyway, I have it this way, and I'm trying to figure out whether I have the exposition, which I shared 2 weeks ago. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. I shared the exposition on the air with you. I've done a little more writing on it since then, and we'll do some more on it before I finish the book. And I have it as chapter 3, but I'm thinking, maybe should I spring it all, you know, the right interpretation before I go into what's wrong with the other interpretations, like amillennialism and those critics there? And or should I put the exposition after I expose everyone else? I think it might be easier. I think I'm for now, I'm going to leave it as chapter 3, the exposition of the revelation, chapter 20. And if you haven't heard that yet, a lot of people are paying attention to it on my website. It's taking the number one spot where people are visiting on my website. So check it out. Yeah, I got a little more insight, and there is nothing that contradicts or you can exclude by the plain reading of the text, okay, of Revelation chapter 20. But a little more insight to, I believe, to clarify and to solidify the plain reading of the text, the interpretation by the plain reading of the text. And what does that even mean by the plain reading of the text? Well, that's what I talk about in my chapter 2, when I talk about defining the debate and what is literal and what is symbolic. Very important. I think I iron that out a little bit more each time. And I think this may be the last prophecy book I write. I might take everything I have written and condense it into one volume, or maybe expand it into one volume. I don't know. Because every time I write something new, I get a little more clarity, a little more insight, a little more revealed revelation into the text each time, so that I could even improve what I've done before. But I think rather than improve, I'll leave the progression there and maybe create one volume out of everything, with everything revised later on. So we'll see. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, that's what I'm leaning to. Because actually I didn't want to write another prophecy book, but I felt like the Lord moved me to work on this, the millennium question. So here I am doing it. And hopefully then I can be done with prophecy, and we'll move on to whatever else the Lord has for me next. But prophecy is always a part of preaching the Word of God. It's a big part of the Word of God. So I can't help it when, you know, going through the Bible, prophecy will always come up, because it's always in the text somewhere. So I'm not going to lay off a prophecy altogether, but I'm just going to perhaps change my focus, but waiting for the Lord on that one. So whatever, I'm his servant, and I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. So anyway, and some of the chapters are the amillennialism after chapter 3, the exposition. I have chapter 4, the amillennialism of Augustine of Hippo. And I mean, that's the rock for amillennialists. That's their foundation is the amillennialism of Augustine. So must be addressed. And then answering the critics. So here I'll answer all of the present day critics who have the most attention out there in the culture today. The people like Kim Riddle-Barger in his book, 10,000 Conjectures. The book of 10,000 conjectures, because that's what it is. I mean, what can you do when you have nothing explicit in the Bible to uphold your view? You must have 10,000 conjectures. And that's what this book and several books and most of your preterism and all your amillennialism, it's all, you know, the newer they get, the more conjectures they add. So, but 10,000, one explicit witness from the scripture is worth more than 10,000 conjectures. Yeah. Okay, let's see. So answering the critics, that's what I'll be doing in the chapter 5. And then chapter 6 and 7 are going to be expanded and refined from my book. What is it called? The Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, because those were the final two chapters in that book. Of course, fitting that it would be at the end of that book, but I'm refining those and expanding those for specifically for the topic of the millennium, which they pretty much were anyway, but they have to be part of this. But like I said, they'll be expanded. So we have asked prospects for the unfulfilled future. And then, of course, what year is it? Is a big part of it, and here it is again. I finished What Year Is It? Pretty much in the form that it's in 2013. As a matter of fact, I was reviewing, because I had this dream, and I shared it with all of you in perhaps 2012, before I started doing a video blog, vlogging every week. I shared it, and then I was looking for a recording of my sharing the dream with you on the air. So I've been reviewing stuff from I pinpointed it to early 2012, because I talked about it at the end of 2012. And then I found out in 2013, I believe it was January 2013, that I did my first video vlog. That must have been when I got cable internet here for the first time. Before that, all I had was DSL. So cable helped me to step up and show my face. Yeah. So anyway, your prayers, much desired and needed for this project and for the continuing and ongoing work of First Amendment Radio here. And also cross the border and where I'm going to go next. And I was looking at, I hate to speak about myself like this, but I was looking at myself 10 years ago or at the beginning of 2013, and I looked like I had to be like 60 years old, because that was 9 or 10 years ago. Yeah. And I thought, man, I look like I'm 25. When I was 60, and I thought, I look like I'm 50, but no, it was that long ago. So I'm thinking, you know what, maybe God has shown me favor. At least I feel like it now, because I have, you know, no major health problems whatsoever. And God has given me good health, you know, not perfect health, but very good health. You know, it's like I have a bum left knee that's weaker than my right knee, and that's about it as far as any handicaps go. Health issues, well, I haven't seen a doctor since I was a teenager for any health issues. The only time I did see a doctor once in my 20s, because I had a sinus infection and I got antibiotics, but I learned how to not get sinus infections after that. Okay, there's a way to avoid things, and that's what I've spent my life researching and learning how to avoid ill health. so that I can serve God. And I hate suffering. I may be a wimp. I would rather have any kind of other suffering than health suffering. But I know, you know, that I'm getting older and things are not healing as fast. And that's what happens. Yeah, that's what happens to us all. And eventually, if the Lord doesn't come back, and, you know, when I think he's going to come back, about 2055, give or take a year, say there's a 3-year window, about 2055, that I believe that the 7th millennium begins and the 6th millennium ends. That's all I'm going by what's in the Bible, and that's what we're getting taught to when I was talking about the final chapter in my book, which verifies what year is it from the creation. And I still have that post on my website, and there's a link to it at the very top of my website. So if you haven't checked that out, I may update this a little bit, you know, with the update that I'm doing in this book. But it's really hard to update it because I can't refine it because of all of you, my listeners, especially you that have been with me since before then for 20 years or 15 years or whatever when I was developing the What Year Is It study. And I had a lot of help from the listeners. A lot of refining was done. So I don't feel like I was alone in that work. Yeah. And I've had some challenges, you know, since then, very few, but a few that I wanted to pay attention to because they seem like they might be viable, but no, it turns out that they were not really viable. So I kind of did not even mention them. But it's there for everyone if you go to the website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and you'll find it there. Okay, in this first hour, well, we're going to talk about current events and news and stuff like that. In the second hour, we'll see what the Lord has. I really haven't planned anything, but I just kind of pray about it sometimes. I go, Lord, I don't know what to specifically talk about. I got a few ideas, but I'm going to need some help here because that's the way it is. Every time I turn around, it's like snapping my fingers. It's Wednesday again, and I have to, I'm committed to sitting in front of this mic for 2 hours, except on a very rare occasion when I don't. Yeah, and that's a rare occasion, and I hope to be sitting here all summer with you. Let's see, Tom W. in the chat room says, I was studying Hebrews this week and also reviewing your Revelation 20 exposition. I thought these verses support the one death, one resurrection, first or second, just as Christ led the way. Yeah, he's talking about an in-kind death preceding the resurrection, an in-kind bodily death preceding an in-kind bodily resurrection. And that's what we're talking about. That's what I definitely try to clarify. And I believe that that's what the Bible clarifies, because that's where I go for my clarity. That's why, you know, I guess God thought it was important for me to do this, even if hardly anybody ever sees it or reads it. So, yeah, the results are his. That's the way I look at it. Okay. And it, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay. Well, I'll mull that around. And if you could clarify that perhaps in an email, I'll have a better understanding exactly where I need to go with that. But right now my mind's too much into doing the broadcast to really ferret things out. Yeah, it's just a lot to do this broadcast, and be producer and the guy who has to talk continually for 2 hours. Yes, unless somebody calls in and says nothing. Yeah, that gives me a few seconds of break. And howdy, Jace in the chat room, and Steven and Ellie are there. And where has the rest of the gang gone? Yeah, well, it's not a question for me right now. Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, back to the the mill here. Let's invent more money to support the Ukraine-Russia war. Okay. Let's see. News items. American Thinker says, Biden's deathly presidency. Yes. The faux president. There's a death hanging over us, and Biden seems oblivious. That's what he's saying. For 4 years under President Trump, America enjoyed peace. I would correct that. For 3 years under Trump. Yeah. America enjoyed peace, security, and unparalleled prosperity. Really? Well, peace, perhaps, security. I mean, those are things that the president is supposed to provide. I'm not sure about that. And unparalleled prosperity. And he didn't provide those things. Whatever peace, security, and prosperity we had, we already had. Trump's presidency was historic, was a historic era of good times in which we began to regain faith in the American dream. And there's some truth to that. Now we have the nightmare and the death and destruction that go with it. Yes. And that's true. Yes, the Trump era was prosperous with historically low unemployment rates, low inflation, energy independence, and rising wages. And it's, you know, it's too bad that President Trump sabotaged it all. Yeah. But, you know, President Trump is under the control of the same shadow government for the Antichrist that Joe Biden is under. See, now, the Antichrist isn't God, okay? A lot of people like to think, you know, they read the prophecy about the Antichrist doing miracles and stuff like that, but they're all false miracles. I mean, if we've learned anything about the false prophet, is that his miracles are false miracles. They're not real miracles. The Antichrist and the Satan do not have the power to do miracles. Sorry. Do not have that power to do miracles. And so people are expecting, you know, huge statues to start walking and, you know, miraculous fire come down from heaven like God sent on the altar of Baal and things like that. But that's not going to happen. Satan only does false miracles. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Well, welcome back. We left, we were talking about the presidency of Donald Trump and how it ended so badly. After 3 years of a promising direction, suddenly, and he succumbed to the psyop of the shadow government, and that is the whole COVID psyop. You see, you understand why I'm not on YouTube today. I didn't even try to get on YouTube. Yeah, we have to cleanse everything before we put it on YouTube. But YouTube just doesn't get the first hour. And it depends on what I talk about in the second hour, whether YouTube will get that either. But that's an aside. We are no longer on YouTube, live anyway. Let's see. President Trump sabotaged his own presidency. He gave the enemy that wanted to get rid of him so badly, and they're still trying to get rid of him today. That says a lot about the man. That the Antichrist, even though they can put someone in office, they did not put Trump in office in 2016. They did not know at what lengths they would have to cheat. And they corrected that error in 2020, but the cheating was so blatant that everyone could see it and everyone knows it, even though you're not allowed to say that on all your big platforms, all your multi-billion-dollar owned platforms out there. You can't say anything on YouTube about the vote. There being cheating in the election. You can't say anything about anything bad about the vaccines that are still killing people, and people are still getting. If you find out someone has COVID, I'm sick with COVID. Well, you know they had the vaccine because people who didn't get the vaccine are already immune to it because their immune system fought it off already, and their immune system has not been compromised by the vaccines. So they're not sick. But anyway, that was the death knell for Trump's presidency. And perhaps it was a judgment on his presidency by God and definitely on America. Why do you think Joe Biden is in office? Is it because the churches, perhaps, half of them are going gay? Yeah. And embracing all of this perversion? Yes. Could God be bringing judgment on America? Well, the answer is yes. More frightful times I have never seen in my life. And that's the truth. What do we have to fear? And I told you I was going through some of my old broadcasts. I was looking for the broadcast where I shared the dream that I had. I guess it must have been in 2012, the dream. That's where I found out that I talked about it. And that was that must have been the year. And because I've been thinking, a lot of people are leaving California. And I'm thinking about it. And I thought about it way back then. As a matter of fact, I tried to leave in 2009. Yeah, I was getting ready to leave, but a whole lot of stuff happened then, and I could not leave. Yeah, even though I tried. So I, set those plans aside of leaving. It wasn't for the lack of desire and the will to, because I definitely had the will to. And then in 2012, God gave me the dream. And now the dream seems more alive than then. because now it's coming back, because I'm thinking about leaving California again, because a lot of people are. And should I join in the trend? I always wanted, never did like the government of California. I love the land here, and I, you know, it's a beautiful place. And that's, you know, that's what attracted me to California, because I like California, the state on the land in California, but I don't like the government here. And I believe that the droughts and a lot of the problems that California is having, despite having, what am I going to call them? Trump emergency surplus budgets. Yeah, because that's where all the surplus in California, because California, since the pandemic, has been running a surplus. And they don't care who leaves and how many, because they're like the federal government now. They get their money by out of thin air by the creation power of the Federal Reserve Bank that is really the bank of the Antichrist and his shadow government. And that's where our Jesuit governor in California, because he's part of that shadow government. The shadow government is head by the Jesuits. They are the head of the shadow government for the Antichrist, who rules practically the whole world now. But he is not God. He can't control people. And if he, for whatever reason, they just didn't kill Trump. Maybe they tried, and who knows? Maybe they didn't succeed, but for whatever reason, they decided to use him, and they did use him, because they got him to go along with the whole Trump shot thing, and they use his huge, humongous ego, because he's pretty egomaniacal, even though he has a lot of good ideas about America and what the founding principles are and what made it great. He's got some inkling, but he really doesn't understand what in the world is really going on. Pray that he would, and he could find out. But if he's out there still going, oh, the Trump, the shot, the warp speed, that was the best thing I ever did. He's an idiot if he believes that. If he's going to take credit, if his ego is so big that he has to grasp on that for credit, yeah, that's problematic. So, anyway. So he was just prime to be used to bring about the whole and begin the great reset. Yeah. And who cares what you did for 3 years that was good and excellent and the best that ever was done or whatever, or the best in the history of my history of the United States anyway in my lifetime, but then kill it in the fourth year, in the fourth quarter. You fall on your face and you lose the whole game. And now the enemy takes over and is purposely destroying it. Yes, what did they call this article here? Biden's deathly presidency. Yeah. They think that Biden is just stupid, and because he's a senile old man, he doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, I guess maybe people will think, oh, poor guy, while they stand by and, you know, watch him destroy the nation. And then there's all of the state governments. We have 50 state governments out here, independent of the federal government in the governing of their own property, of their own territory, their own locality. Yet has one of them set up a state refinery and system to provide gas for their own state? They could. You know, they're under interstate rules, but the Department of Energy is only has control, according to the Constitution, in as far as it has to do with interstate commerce. So a state could provide all of its own energy, because a lot of these states are bigger than whole countries out there all over the earth that are providing their own energy. Like, you know, some of the South American countries and stuff are smaller than some of these states that could be providing their own oil for their own states. And you know what that would do is, let's say if, well, I know our Jesuit governor here, California could be independent. Energy independent, because we do have oil here. But our Jesuit government, you know, being part of the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, he'll never go along with that. Now, a lot of these other governments and states, I don't know, do they think, oh, I can't do it because the Department of Energy won't let me? Well, they can do anything inside their own state that they want to do. And they could provide the oil and gasoline, build their own refinery according to state law. And if they don't meet federal law, they just can't export it. But see, that's great. That would help the whole nation. If one state became energy independent, then that would be more oil for the other states. Felt that sneeze coming on for a while. Okay. But, so why not? So state rights, states' right is a huge answer to the problem, because we aren't going to fix it as long as they can, you know, as long as they can cheat in the elections. Now, there's some signs that people are stepping up. They're not allowing cheating to go on. But I still think we have a huge problem where we can't rely, especially on the federal elections. Maybe we can watch better locally and in some of the states, like California, it seems hopeless to me right now. And I don't see it changing because we have a whole West Coast dynasty over here that is just under the top layer of government, just hidden below the surface that really kind of runs the whole West Coast. They call it a West Coast dynasty. And yes, the governor of California is part of it. And what's her name? Nancy Pelosi. She's like the queen right now of this dynasty. Well, of course, she's going to be having to hand off her position here before long, because she's going the same way Joe Biden is going, you know, becoming somewhat senile. So what can we do? Really, repentance in the churches. And, you know, there's a lot of churches. We need to separate ourselves from all these false churches, all of these church of the tares. Yeah, because that's what they are. Once they accept, you know, all of the wokeism and all of the transgenderism and start having female pastors and start having, you know, homosexuals, gay pastors, whatever, transgender deacons, then it's time to just label them as to what they are. They are the Church of the Terrors. And we have two churches. I mean, it's bad enough in the true churches that are out here, the true church, that we have terrors in the congregations. But then when they become majority terrors, well, then you call it the Church of the Terrors. And that's when they start voting in all this woke stuff and start voting out the Bible. They have no conviction of sin, and they don't like the word repentance, things like that. Those are the ones that we need to walk away from and call them out for what they are, because there's no salvation for them. They only have their eyes fixed on things temporal, not where we need to be. Well, so between Biden and Trump, Biden is just the next step after Trump's final year in office, after he sabotaged everything he did. And I would like to, I mean, I just pray that Donald Trump would repent openly and see the error of his way and the vaccine. And because more people would respect him if he actually openly repented of the evil that he allowed when he sabotaged his own presidency in 2020 by not keeping his word. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. After 2 weeks, he should have said, this is not working. This is, you know, because it obviously wasn't working. I was angry after 2 weeks. Cause I believed him. I wanted to believe him. I'll say that much. I wanted to believe him, but you know, the proof is in the pudding, and they'll never fool me again. Yeah. And of course they didn't fool me because I didn't take the shot. Cause even though, you know, it took them a year to roll out to get to create billions, because that's really what the problem was, is the logistics of creating billions. How many billions of shots? You know, 20 billion injections, so they could give everyone on Earth 3 or 4 of them. Yeah, that was the problem. That's why it took them, you know, 11 months or 10 months or whatever it was before the rollout, because they had already developed it. All the evidence is there. And why Donald Trump doesn't have that information, I don't know. And if he does, then he needs to repent for his part in it. And then I would have more respect. I would promote him. Maybe even go down and register to vote myself. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Of course, I don't have any ID, so they won't let me vote. Because, yeah, you have to have ID to vote. Pretty sure. Unless you're the illegal alien. I don't know how that works. But, okay, well, let's see what else do we have here on our news thing here. Team of fools, Biden's cabinet picks prove he is unfit to lead. See, these people just don't get it. All of the people who hate Biden, and I have no love for the man, I have to tell you that much. He's worse than Esau. Because he's actually promoting and loves evil. Yeah. The cabinet picks they're picked by, they pick the worst people because the worst people are going to help to destroy America for the Antichrist faster than anything else, even faster than Donald Trump's last year in office. So it's only accelerating what had already begun. And you know what? I'm not giving up, you know, and I don't want anyone else to go. We need to continue to resist. But we need to continue to live a lifestyle of repentance, walking the repentance road and preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, by his blood alone, and that there is no salvation in any other. This life is only temporary, and we're not getting our best life now, so we shouldn't fear losing whatever good things that we do have in this life, because we're going to lose them all anyway. So, let's see. Steven in the chat room says, I finally got a job without an SSN. The benefits of God are good. Yes. He said, forget not all of my benefits. So, forget about the benefits of the world. They're fading fast, and you're going to have to sell your soul to get your universal basic income. Yeah. And of course, to get that, all your free health care. Free health care. I already have free health care. Okay. So I'm on the plan of the great physician. I already have free health care. I don't look to man to save me, you know. Like I said, I haven't even seen a doctor for anything since I was, and then it was only for health checkups, because I was I was an orphan in the foster system when I was a teenager. Yeah. Okay. The Democrats' quest for gun control may harm Black Americans most of all, says here. Well, I still don't think, I think most Americans are not going to give up their guns, even if they get all of their, you know, woke pastors, you know, the Antichrist pastors out there, and there are plenty of them, tell their congregations to, yes, you know, Romans 13, you must obey the civil government. No, you must not obey the civil government if it's an unlawful law. If they're overstepping their jurisdiction, because there are different jurisdictions. And for them to have jurisdiction over my autonomy, the autonomy of my body and my health, is, they're overstepping their jurisdiction, as they do and as they have done, especially, well, when they finally overthrow the Constitution, which they will do lawfully or unlawfully. Everything they've done to overthrow it so far has been unlawful, but people have accepted it as lawful, like the 13th Amendment, and I believe, what was it, the 17th Amendment. Several of the amendments to the Constitution were never lawfully ratified, but they got away with it anyway. It's like the 13th Amendment, you know, and the income tax. There was no personal income tax until World War II. It was only on corporations that had their status by, benefit from the state. Yeah. By private contract with the state. It's a privilege. That's the word I was looking for. So if the state gives you a privilege in business, like a corporation, then you're subject to it because it's giving you a privilege. And that's where the income tax came in. And it was 1%. Yeah. Only on government privileged businesses. But at World War II, they got everyone through patriotic effort to start giving 10% or whatever it was, a few percent, pay income tax to support the war effort. Of course, after the war, it was supposed to go away, but it never did. See, because the government never starts to take something and then gives it up. I mean, these people are evil and they love money and power. And you give them some and they only want more. They're never going to say, oh, you know what? We don't want that power. We don't want that money anymore. We don't want that control over your lives anymore. We're going to give that back to you. Well, that's not the way the beast works. And we are talking about the beast governments. These are the beasts that I write about in my book, and The Beast Apocalyptic. Okay. These beast governments, they have a life of their own, and the people in them are rewarded greatly for feeding the beast. And what does the beast feed on? Well, the beast feeds on your life, your sweat, your blood, your tears, your death, everything you do. And they want it all, and they want to profit by it all. It's like the war over there in Ukraine, $40 billion. And you know, Joe Biden and his family have been for a decade, and the Obamas, the big guy, that is Barack Obama, the big guy from the Hunter Biden emails, the big guy. Anyway, they've set up their money laundering operation in the Ukraine. So it's no surprise that now we have a conflict in Ukraine that needs billions and billions upon billions of dollars to no end, because they're just getting filthy rich. That all that money's going over there to be laundered to make them rich. And whoever they decide to, you know, whoever, whatever contractors that money goes to, their friends in the Ukraine and other countries, and to support their great reset, they're all getting rich and funneling all this money where they want it to overthrow the United States of America, because they all work for the Antichrist and his shadow government. The Bible is true when it says that the Antichrist, the man of sin, rules the world before Christ comes, and that he would be revealed when that power was taken out of the way that he could supplant. And of course, that was Imperial Rome, was replaced by Papal Rome, the head, the little horn power, which is the city of Rome. The government, the head of the government, changed from the Imperial Roman City of Rome government to the Vatican City of Rome government. And that's where it lies today. Only she has learned her lessons from history. So she has many layers of culpable deniability. And that's why most people don't have a clue as to who's running the world and what part who plays in it. Okay, we're going to go into a long break here, have some news. But we will come back and we will continue with current events.
Calvary, that's the place where Jesus bled and died, And it's there that sin has lost its power at Calvary. Calvary, there my Jesus won the victory. There he gave himself for you and me on Calvary. Brother, give no thought for what tomorrow it may bring. Your Father, he knows your heart. He knows your every need. Just seek him in his truth and rest upon his word. Share his love to everyone. Let's all just praise the Lord. Let the stars fall from the skies. Let the sun refuse to shine. In darkness, I know there will be a light for all mankind. It doesn't matter and calls for you to come to Calvary. That's the place where Jesus bled and died, and it's there that sin has lost its power at Calvary. Calvary. Sin has lost its power at Calvary. Calvary. There my Jesus won the victory. There he gave himself for you.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pete. Chevron's chairman and CEO Mike Wirth on Tuesday responded to President Biden's criticism of the oil industry, saying a change in the administration's approach was needed to help combat rising fuel prices. Biden's answer is a gas tax holiday, which will only take off about 18 cents a gallon, and it would be temporary. Fox News host Laura Ingraham says Biden is putting a teaspoon of water on a raging fire so that low-information voters will think he's doing something. But he doesn't intend to really do anything about high gas prices, because that's the way Democrats want it.
Five major refineries have already shut down in the United States because investors, shockingly, actually want to make a profit, and they know long-term, there's no long-term viability in this investment because of the ESG movement and all the green movement both here and around the world. So, I mean, Biden's now taking like a teaspoon of water and throwing it on a fire and thinks, oh, that's going to work. It's not going to work. And he doesn't understand markets, or he does, but he doesn't want to really admit it. So this is all just smoke and mirrors.
Fox News contributor Leo Terrell slammed the Democrats for looking the other way as the far left reportedly plans a, quote, night of rage if Roe v. Wade is overturned. Terrell argues that because Democrats have enabled crime through far left policies, protesters think they can do whatever without repercussions.
Look at the last 3 years. They call crime peaceful protest, a night of rage. They are telling the government, they are telling Americans, we're going to burn, loot, murder, and all this. And you know what? We don't have to worry about it because we got soft on crime prosecutors. We got soft on crime Democratic mayors. We can do whatever we want in the streets. It's outrageous and it's wrong. That's not the way the American political system works.
The soft-on-crime approach from many left-wing prosecutors, combined with the anti-police movement, is causing many officers to just walk away from the profession. And Fraternal Order of Police Vice President Joe Grimaldi says it's not going to get any better.
For the better part of a decade, we've had the media and politicians systematically burning down the institution of policing in this country, and now we're just living in the ashes. Retirements are up nationwide 45%. Resignations are up 20%. The NYPD saw a 40% spike in people leaving the department. In Seattle, they're having hundreds of police officers leave their department. And the sad part is we don't have anybody to take their place. This is leading to dangerous understaffing on the streets at a time when violence against us is through the roof, to the tune of 157 police officers shot already this year.
Wow.
I've been a police officer for 17 years. It is not hyperbole when I say our profession is dying. We have been denigrated, we have been demonized, and we're all sick of it.
A national defense analyst is concerned that West Point cadets are being forced to attend seminars pushing critical race theory. Chad Groening has more.
Judicial Watch used a Freedom of Information Act request to obtain training materials that reveal that cadets at the United States Military Academy are being taught critical race theory. The future Army leadership is being taught to acknowledge its, quote, whiteness and, quote, privilege, and to answer training questions through the lens of critical race theory. Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch says our military is under attack from within.
We're teaching anti-Americanism and racial division. You know, frankly, it's designed to attack one race and victimize another. And if you're trying to build a cohesive military, why would you bring this in?
West Point graduate Bob McGinnis is a senior fellow for national security at the Family Research Council and author of the soon-to-be-released Kings of the East, China's Plan to Eliminate America and Impose a Communist World Order. He agrees with Fitton's assessment.
The idea that you would insert a divisive type of ideology within the context of trying to build unit cohesion and trust and confidence among a very diverse organization is just a no-brainer. It doesn't follow. And so I would be, as a commander, very upset about that. And if that's what the Biden administration is pushing, then I would be vehemently opposed to it.
I'm Chad Groening.
American Family News is online at AFN.net and download the AFN mobile app for your Apple or Android device. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And the news is, well, it's always the same. It seems these days the bad news continues. We have this breaking news. This is reporting from the Defender Children's Health Defense. Breaking. FDA panel recommends Moderna two-dose COVID vaccine for kids 6 to 17. And he says they add, despite serious safety concerns. Yes, the Federal Drug Association of drug pushers. Yeah, that's the FDA. They recommend that you give several, doses of the kill shot to your children 6 to 17 in order to sterilize them and destroy their immune system so that they can die sooner or not live as long, and maybe even immediately. And we'll see how that works out for you. If you're uninformed, gullible, or just a plain idiot, you would take your allow your children to take this shot, or send them to the public school, because that's really where they'll be enforcing this upon your children. They will be enforcing it in the public schools. Their next headline here, along the same vein, FDA set to decide on Pfizer's COVID shots for kids under five based on unethical trial data. And it's an EUA, emergency use authorization, because everyone knows it's an emergency. The children are dying in droves. We have to give them a shot of something. Because if the thing doesn't, that we're supposed to be afraid of, that's an emergency, doesn't kill them, then, well, then we have to kill them with the shot. Unethical trial data, serious safety concerns mean nothing to the Antichrist and his shadow government, who want you and your children dead because they want to reduce the population of the earth to 1.5 billion people. And that means that, well, 7 plus billion people must die as soon as possible. That's their plan. They don't care what it costs. They're all idiots. If they got their way, they would be dead too. And the world would be a dystopia. Yeah. That's what happens when you worship death and you hate life. Okay, the push to vaccinate young kids, a ploy by pharma to get COVID shot on the pediatric immunization schedule. Of course it is. It's already on the schedule in California. Yeah, of course we know that our shadow government Jesuit governor in California is giving the shots to all the children here. Although a lot of them are rejecting it, walking away. But get it on the schedule, and then, yeah, yes, people, get your children out of public school. Get your grandchildren out of public school. What's the matter with you? I mean, isn't it bad enough that they're teaching them critical race theory and they want to transgender them so that they're more likely to commit suicide than not, to make their life even harder than, you know, more difficult than it already is? Then now they want to give them the kill shot too. Yeah. If they can delude them in one way, they can delude them in every way. And they love delusional people, because delusional people are easy to control. Let's see. Yes, FDA advisors weigh Moderna COVID vaccine heart risk for young men plus more. Yeah, they're weighing it all right. Going, all these people are going to die anyway. And we want them dead. So yeah, we've weighed it. The risk is acceptable to us. Take your shot and shut up. Yeah, that's it. Well, I guess anybody have any, doubts about how I feel about the messenger RNA, the gene therapy shot? Any doubt about that to anyone out there at all? Let's see, what else we got here? Okay, oh yeah, as if that ain't enough. We got monkeypox now. Virologists issue urgent new monkeypox warning about racism. Well, you know, if you're woke, you'll probably take the shot. You'll probably do whatever they say, because if you are woke, you are totally mind-controlled. Yeah. And you will bow down and do whatever they say. And, well, how did they do that? How did they turn it into a warning about racism? African and European virologists have posted a gravely stupid monkeypox screed to the virological discussion board, warning against the danger of stigmatizing nomenclature, because this is totally their field and we have nothing else to worry about right now. There are so many risible passages to choose from. I guess I'll just go in order. The prevailing perception in the international media and scientific literature is that the MPXV is endemic in people in some African countries. However, it is well established that nearly all monkeypox viral outbreaks in Africa prior to 2022 outbreak have been the result of spillover from animals to humans, and only rarely have there been reports of sustained human-to-human transmission in the context of the current global outbreak. Yes, is there really a global outbreak? Is it a pandemic or is it just endemic? And why are they giving smallpox shots relabeled as monkeypox shots? And how long is it going to take them to come out with an mRNA version? Anyway, the nomenclature of this virus being African is not only inaccurate, but is also discriminatory and stigmatizing. So they're worried about wokeism, racism. Get your monkeypox vaccine and just shut up. And stop calling it African, I guess. Yeah. Next. Let's see. Make America Florida the case for DeSantis. Well, yes. You think DeSantis could win? They would not cheat this year like they did last time. Well, we're talking about 2024. Can we make it to 2024? 2 years seems like an awful long time under the present circumstance. All I can say is pray, repent, pray some more, repent some more, preach the word, preach the gospel to your friends, give everyone a Bible for their birthdays. And send them sermons of good Reform Bible teaching. Send everyone a link to the First Amendment Radio Bobby page on their phones. And, you know, maybe we can do something here. You know, maybe we can abate, because we are in the land of the earth beast. And there are two horns of equal size. You know, the two horns of power are equal. One is lamb-like, the other is dragon-speaking. And it's easy to see the dragon-speaking one and identify it. Is it not today? And it seems to be like half of the political power is this dragon-speaking half. And of course, they lie, they cheat, they steal, and they're loudest because, remember, it's speaking. Where lamb-like is, well, kind of subtle, kind of, you know, not in your face. Maybe you need to be in your face a little bit, yeah. But you see what the difference is in the two horns of power in the earth beast that we call America today. And there are two horns of power. One is dragon speaking. Yes, easy to see. So we must resist and we must push back. But repentance is more important than voting. Yeah. That's what's more important. A revival of, especially the church, more important than voting. Because you can have all of the patriotic and, but if there's no repentance, then it's all for nothing. That's what we got with Donald Trump. We got patriotism, we got conservatism, but we got no repentance. Yeah. We got no putting off of the evil, just of the effects of evil. And that's what it really boils down to. So God's people need to step up their game if we want to be able to have at least maintain what little liberty we have left. And that may not even be good enough. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball that shows me the future. I only know what God's word tells me. And it tells me about these two horns of power in the United States. And it only depicts them as equal. It doesn't say that one is higher than the other, as it does when it expresses some of the other beasts with horns of power, how one is supplants others. It does, none of that happens. These two horns remain equal throughout the life of the beast, as it's depicted in the Revelation. And I think if there was going to be a change in that, that God would have given us a change in it. So I'm thinking there's a little hope here that perhaps if we fight hard enough, we can at least hold off the evil or remain this, you know, we may be able to hang on to the tension, you know, this tug of war, where nobody's going into the mud, but, or maybe we can pull them into the mud a little bit. Who knows? We can get them stuck in their own quagmire. Well, God will take care of that because they're all going down in their own trap. They're being snared by their own deceit. We know where it all goes. Yeah. We know where it all leads. So make America Florida. Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Can Florida repent and stave off the judgment that it is even coming to it? Huh? Yeah, all you Floridians out there, California seems to be a basket case. That's why I want to leave. Yeah. I planted hay 2 years in a row and nothing has grown. I think that's judgment on California. Yeah, cause, you know, you gotta rely on rain. Of course, there's all the hay growers out there that are watering, but if I have to buy hay for my animals, I'm going to be paying, let's see, last time I bought hay, it was $18 a bale for alfalfa. It'll probably be like $22 if I hurry up and go out and buy now. If I wait, it'll probably be $30. Who knows? The dollar is falling so fast. Yeah, it is. It's amazing. But we've seen this before, although I didn't pay as much attention to it, because last time this happened was during the 70s. When they had the Mideast fuel crisis or whatever it was, and we had inflation like we have now, but it looks like we're going to exceed what happened last time. We'll see. Yeah. Because the push is on to destroy the world economy, to bring about that final form of the mark of the beast that is depicted in the very last few verses of chapter 13 of the Revelation. Okay, here's what they want censored now. Okay, I'll bite, Tom Woods. What is it? Throughout the worst of the craziness since 2020, astute observers have warned that next will be a ramping up of climate change hysteria, complete with mandates and the kind of active suppression of dissident voices that we saw during COVID. Then Project Veritas captured CNN's Charlie Chester admitting, "Be prepared, it's coming. Climate change is going to be the next COVID thing for CNN. We're going to hone in on it." Now, just yesterday, I reported to you about the real story behind the Disinformation Governance Board, which had a particular emphasis on COVID and the useless interventions they pushed on societies around the world. But now we're hearing via reporting of the Wall Street Journal that they'll probably want to pressure the big tech platforms to make sure we peons can't object to the equally useless interventions they want to make in the name of climate change. First, it was fact checkers adding notes to fake book posts. Democratic senators then complained that opinion pieces weren't being fact checked, so fake book started doing that. Now, National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy, National Climate Advisor, is complaining that you and I have been allowed to warn about the problems with so-called green energy. She recalled the week-long Texas power outage last year. In her version of reality, the first thing we read in the paper was that the blackouts occurred because of those wind turbines. That became the mantra. She really thinks the conventional wisdom was that green energy was to blame, when in fact the media, of course, blamed fossil fuels and climate change. And then here it comes. We need to tech companies to really jump in, pointing out the cost of green energy, she said, is equally dangerous to climate change denial because we have to move fast. One of the best decisions I made years ago was moving my Tom Woods show of Elite off Facebook, where we were increasingly harassed for stupid reasons, and shifting to a no-censorship platform instead. Okay, well, I don't know. It seems like, what is this article about? I guess it's about Tom Woods moving his show. And climate change being the next big disaster. Because I don't think monkeypox is going to do it. Right now, they seem to be controlling all their efforts on gun control. Yeah. So we'll see how that works out for them. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, no comments in the chat room. So I guess I'll just keep looking at news items here and see what I have next. Okay. Is there life after death? We already know how that works out. Yes, there is. It's called the resurrection. And if you make that, then we will all rise with Jesus when he returns. Looking forward to that day. Then we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, despite what all the critics say who don't want to believe what the Bible says. Hey, will someone talk? Okay. They're taking odds in Las Vegas right now. Will someone speak on the phone or not? Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Farm and Mike in Ohio.
Hey, someone spoke.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said somebody spoke.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Well, go ahead. I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. I'll just keep you about a moment. As far as gun control, I find it interesting. Ohio passed a law yesterday. You no longer need a concealed carry permit.
Yeah, I heard that. Makes me happy.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I found it on two or three different sources. I still have to pull up the law itself and read the details, but I'm a little bit suspicious of it.
Huh.
For some reason. I think it's a move in the right direction because the concealed carry, the training is good and everything, but they just make it so difficult to protect yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to pass that along. I had no idea this was coming. I just came across it.
Yeah, I heard about that yesterday. Yeah.
As long as you're not a felon or, you know, you don't have some domestic violence charges pending, if you're 21, you can legally carry a sidearm.
Right. Cool. Yeah, I wish that would come to California.
Like I said, I'm a little bit suspicious of that. I wonder if they want to use it to get the red flag, you know, people wigging out and calling in a bunch of red flag complaints, and then, I don't know. I'm just suspicious of it.
Yeah, well, it's good to be suspicious.
Governor put this through.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's afraid of his position being voted out or something. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, one quick question. Did you get that well up and running?
Actually, they're supposed to show up Monday to start digging my well. They told me it should take 4 days to dig it.
Well, that's good. You're going to go a little deeper this time?
Oh, well, I have to. I'm going to go 100 feet into water. That's my plan. Find out where the water is. It's about 120 feet. So I'm going to go 220 feet.
Yeah.
And that'll run me about $15,000.
I'm going to continue watching.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call, man.
All righty.
Bye. All right. Well, the odds were against it, but somebody talked on the phone, and that was Fireman Mike. You can meet him in the chat room there. Anyway, I appreciate that, getting a call once in a while. And yeah, that was good news. I did hear that, and I forget how many states it is now, but the states are answering Joe Biden right now by giving people the right to carry an arm, a firearm without a permit to be able to conceal carry, because that's what the Second Amendment says. It says there shall be no law it goes against your right to carry, to bear, or your right to bear arms. So, and in California, I don't know what the laws are here. Last time I talked, well, we have a constitutional sheriff in probably one of the most conservative counties in California where I'm at. As a matter of fact, during the COVID thing, one was at my gate and I was talking to him. And I says, hey, I notice you don't have a mask on. He says, oh, no, we're not doing that or enforcing anything like that, even though the governor has said they're supposed to do it. But see, the sheriff is not under the governor. The sheriff is under the people, directly voted to by the people. The governor of California has nothing to do with the selection of sheriffs. But see, the governor of California is not under the federal government either. But yeah, he's chosen to be bought off. And he has all of this money, which I believe saved him from being ousted in that, in that special election to get him out of office. He skated by on that one, so he wasn't put out of office and replaced by Larry Elder, which I would have loved to seen that. But the dynasty is strong in California, and the cheating is rampant. And because they've got it down to a science out here, the same science that they employed in all of the elections up to 2016, they implied the science, but it wasn't enough. Yeah, they had to go over the top for 2020. It became blatant for everyone to see. Anyway, well, there's another break coming up. So, and we have more news items to talk about. So don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. I've saved the best for last. I have an article here, Dates That Help Destroy America. This is by Chris Sullivan, and you can find that at lewrockwell.com. paste it in the chat room here so everyone can check it out later themselves. And anyway, first date he has here is April 9, 1865. This is the date when General Robert E. Lee surrendered the Army of Northern Virginia to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox, at the Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia. Regardless of where one comes down on the subject of the war between the states, one fact is undeniable. Abraham Lincoln seriously dismantled the Jeffersonian model of federalism in the United States of America. Lincoln ignored the concept of free and independent states when he declared war on a nation that seceded from the Union. And yes, the states were independent nations. That's what they were supposed to be. And the Union was what it said it was, not what it has become. But the newly formed Confederate States of America had lawfully separated from the United States in accord with the Constitution of 1789. That mattered not to Lincoln, for he ordered an invasion and destruction of this new country under the guise of preserving the Union. It was not Lincoln's job to preserve the Union. That job belonged to the states. And see, that's where he made his big error when he bowed to the, he bowed to the Jesuits and the Antichrist and took up the banner of preserving the Union. Ever since Lincoln's presidency, virtually every battle that free men have fought for the principles of limited government, state sovereignty, personal liberty, etc., has stemmed directly from Lincoln's usurpation of power and subjugation and forced union of what used to be free and independent states, the Declaration of Independence. In fact, the philosophical battles being waged today regarding every encroachment upon liberty and state autonomy by our federal government have their roots in Lincoln's autocracy. Next date, July 9, 1868. This is the date when the 14th Amendment was ratified. This amendment codified into law what Lincoln had forced at Bayonet Point from 1861 to 1865. Until then, people were deemed citizens of their respective states. The Constitution nowhere referred to people as U.S. citizens. It only recognized the citizens of each state. Notice also that citizenship was only recognized among the several states, not among people living in non-state territories. Until the 14th Amendment, people were citizens of each state. The 14th Amendment created a whole new class of persons, citizens of the United States. This false notion of one nation overturned the Jeffersonian principle that America was a confederated republic, a voluntary union of states. February 3rd, 1913. This is the date when the 16th Amendment was ratified and the personal income tax and IRS were instituted. This was a flagrant repudiation of freedom principles. What began as a temporary measure to support the war of Northern aggression, became a permanent income revenue stream for an unconstitutional and ever-growing central government, and the financial basis for future government spending. April 3rd, 1913. This is the date when the 17th Amendment was ratified. This amendment overturned the right of the state legislatures to elect their own senators and replaced it with a direct popular vote. And I call them super congressmen because that's all they are. Because we already had a Congress. And, of course, by population. But now we got super Congress, popular vote to senators rather than those being selected by the state governments for the authority of the state government, for their part in the government. Their part in the government was stripped away. and it was all given to popular vote. So this was another serious blow against state sovereignty. The framers of the Constitution desired that the influence of the power in Washington, D.C. be kept as close to the people and the states as possible. For example, the number of representatives in the House of Representatives was to be decided by a limited number of voters. In the original Constitution, the ratio of people to the several states deciding their House member could not exceed one for every 30,000. And when it came to the United U.S. Senate, the framers recognized the authority of each state legislature to select its own senators, thereby keeping power and influence from aggregating in Washington, D.C. And, well, power has aggregated totally in Washington, D.C. now, because senators were never supposed to be in Washington, D.C. They were supposed to be selected by the state legislatures for the authority of the state and its power in Washington, D.C., each of the several state governments. The 17th Amendment seriously damaged the influence and power of the states by forcing them to elect their U.S. senators by popular vote. Senators who answered to state legislatures, each answering to a limited number of voters, were much more accountable to the citizens of the several states than those who are elected by a large number, most states now numbering into the millions of people. For all intents and purposes, U.S. senators are more like mini-presidents than representatives of sovereign states. Senators today are less representative of the people and more representatives of Washington, D.C. December 23rd, 1913. Again, we have 1913. This is the date when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and I call it the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, because that's what it was. It was a coup. This act placed oversight of America's financial matters into the hands of a cabal of private international bankers who have completely destroyed the constitutional principles of sound money and, for the most part, free enterprise. We have no free enterprise anymore. No longer would the marketplace, private consumption, thrift, growth, etc., be the determinant of the U.S. economy and a currency backed by actual gold, which is what freedom is all about. But now a private, unaccountable international banking cartel, who works for the Antichrist, by the way, would have total power and authority to micromanage for their own private parochial purposes, or for the purposes of which the Antichrist wants to control the world. America's financial sector, virtually every recession, depression, and downturn in this country has ever had, including the Great Depression, was the direct result of the Fed's manipulation of the financial markets. They're doing it again today. Yes, no doubt about it. 1913 was not a good year for the United States or for freedom. June 26, 1945, they created the image of the beast. That's right. The second beast creates an image of the first beast. And you can read all about that in The Beast Apocalyptic or my other book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. This is the date when the United Nations Charter was signed and America joined the push for global government. It is no accident that America has not fought a constitutionally declared war since we entered the UN, and neither have we won one, nor will we ever win another one as long as the UN exists. And this is because all wars fought by the dragon speaking, the dragon mouth of the earth beast, using America's sons and daughters now, and America's wealth, the wealth of the American people, are fought for the Antichrist and his purpose. Same thing that's going on over in the Ukraine right now. And we see that, and I said this several weeks ago, the Antichrist rules through corruption. He buys everything he wants people to do. He pays for it and makes those that have the power to give him what he wants, he makes them very rich. And that's how the Antichrist rules the world, through corruption. Okay? And because When you have all the money in the world, when you own all the money in the world, when you control all of the central banks of all of the nations of the world, then you have all the money you need to corrupt all the people that you need to corrupt to get your way. Furthermore, it is America's involvement in the United Nations that has spawned this pathetic push for a new world order that George H.W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Tony Blair, Walter Cronkite, George Soros, Klaus Schwab et al. Have talked so much about. The United Nations is an anti-American institution that works aggressively and constantly against the interests and principles of the United States. But it is an institution that is ensconced in the American political infrastructure. Like a cancer, the UN eats away at our liberties and values, and both major political parties in Washington, D.C. are equally culpable in allowing it to exist, to exert so much influence over our country. And remember, this was all written in prophecy that it would happen, and it has happened. Just the way the prophecy says. And I can make that really easy for you to understand. You can go to JorgeApocalyptica.wordpress.com for free. Open up volume 3 there and go to chapter 9 and read it for yourself. Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. Yeah. And you can read a better and more concise account in my latest book, The Beast Apocalyptic. Yes, everyone should read that. If you want to understand Bible prophecy, this is where it all begins. If you understand this, everything else becomes so much clearer. Once you understand the beast apocalyptic and what the beast symbol and all the related symbols mean, according to the scripture, scripture interprets scripture, it becomes so clear. Okay. So, and he also puts here United Nations, yeah, anti-American. Next date, May 14, 1948. This is the date that the Zionist state of Israel was created. Nothing has blinded America's so-called conservatives and their religious groups like the advent of the modern state of Israel. The faux Israel has nothing to do with the Israel described in the Bible. It is a devilish counterfeit nation whose intelligence services have penetrated nearly every major country and have instigated assassinations and government overthrows. The Mossad, the State Intelligence Service, and Shin Bet, the State Security Service, are joined at the hip with the CIA. And if you'll notice that these are all operations of the Antichrist and his shadow government headed by that order called the Society of Jesus or the Jesuits. Since the creation of the Zionist state, and this is an Antichrist operation, the whole Zionist state of Israel is. The capital of homosexuality, gayness, pride is Tel Aviv. Yeah, in case you didn't know, that is the gay capital of the world. Since the creation of the Zionist state of Israel in 48, nothing has influenced and even dominated American politics, government, business, especially banking, the mainstream media, and entertainment industry more, and all for the worse. There has been no good come from this country. Yes, not the new state of Israel. They should call it New Israel. It's because it's not the old one. It's not the same nation. And most of them are not even genetically historical Jews, but they're Ashkenazim. And it's just the truth. I'm not anti-Semitic or anything. I have nothing against Semites, or should I say Shemites. Yes. August 16th, 1954. This is the date that the infamous Johnson Amendment to the 501c3 tax code was signed into law by President Dwight Eisenhower. This review from Regent University accurately summarizes the Johnson Amendment. The amendment appears to be nothing more than an attempt by a powerful senator, Lyndon Baines Johnson, a Democrat from Texas, to silence political opponents that he feared were hurting his chances for re-election. Johnson knew how to work the system and inserted his amendment into a larger tax overhaul bill. There was no referral to committee for further study and hearings. There was no legislative analysis of the amendment on the tax-exempt organizations. There was certainly no attempt to understand the effect that the amendment might have on the constitutional rights, especially those of churches and other religious organizations. The Johnson Amendment plainly targets speech because it prohibits statements that are published or distributed, yet Congress made no attempt to reconcile the Johnson Amendment with the First Amendment. There was absolutely no discussion at all of the First Amendment, and Johnson's amendment simply sailed through Congress as a small addition to a popular tax overhaul bill. Regent University Law Review, 2011-2012. Nothing has done more to gag America's pulpits and churches like the repressive speech restrictions of the 501c3 nonprofit tax status instituted under the Johnson Amendment. And nothing has done more to destroy America than these gagged and muted pulpits and churches. And if you don't believe this was a plan from the beginning with the institution of nonprofit status corporations being imposed upon churches becoming the norm with seemingly no effect but only good effect for decade upon decade, and then the clincher, the Johnson Amendment, to gag them all and shut them up so the Antichrist could get his way in government. Yeah. Wasn't Lyndon Baines Johnson acting alone, one of the people who had a hand for the Antichrist in killing one of the most popular presidents of the last century, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who took that president's place? Yeah, he knew. He knew beforehand and he knew afterhand, all the while working for the Antichrist. Nothing has done more to gag America's Bible. Okay, I finished that one. Yes. June 5th, 1962. And I'd been a member. A favorite church I was ever a member of was not a 501c3 tax exempt corporation. They said whatever they wanted in the pulpits. You need to find you one of those if you can. If you can, but good luck with that. Yeah, you can find one in your living room if you really want to find a non-501c3 church. Just tell a few people that you're going to start meeting in your living room, sing some hymns, and go through the Word of God. Just read some, comment on it, read some more, you know, just do some expository teaching as you go through the Bible. Okay, June 25th, 1962, and June 17th, 1963. These are the dates the Supreme Court removed prayer and Bible reading from the public schools. I better start moving fast here. November 22, 1963. This is the date that John F. Kennedy was assassinated by our aforementioned president, CIA, the Antichrist, and his shadow government. Yes. And for reasons. Mm-hmm. It says, with the exception of Ronald Reagan, every president since Kennedy has been completely controlled by the establishment elite that ordered Kennedy's murder. And they tried to murder Reagan, too, because... And they essentially, after they shot him, they kept him drugged up. And George Bush, New World Order George Bush, ruled the nation from that point on. So some good things were going to go. We were going to get rid of the Department of Education. Yes. And it goes through all of that. Good article here. October 22, 1968. This is the date when Lyndon Baines Johnson signed the Gun Control Act of 1968. January 22, 1973, Roe versus Wade. December 8, 1993. This is the date that Clinton signed at the urging of Newt Gingrich, the job-killing manufacturing industry gutting anything but free trade bill. Yeah, NAFTA. Okay. September 11, 2001, the Twin Towers, Washington, D.C., and, of course, They created the Department of Homeland Security, the passage of the USA Patriot Act, on and on. More and more happened after that. October 26, 2001, signed the Patriot Act, George Bush, George W. October 17, 2006 and 2009, the dates when President Bush and President Barack Obama resigned the Military Commissions Act, another outgrowth of the Patriot Act. And, yeah, go on with that. The Portable Care Act of 2010. 2015. Obergefell was passed in 2015. And then 2016. This is the date that the final nail almost was put in the coffin of America by Hillary Clinton. When future historians review the demise of our once great republic, they will observe the above dates were the dates that destroyed America. Yeah, they tried to cheat on November 8th, 2016, but they didn't cheat big enough. They remedied that in 2020, did they not? And, yeah, the dates that destroyed America. That's a good article there. You can find that at lewrockwell.com, and I did put the link in the chat room. Sorry, didn't have enough time to completely review all of that. But what else can be said? Well, we must resist, spread the word of God, bring as many people into God's kingdom as you can, and never let it be said that you have not devoted your life to Christ, to his gospel, and his kingdom. What more can I say? Go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Make sure that you press the follow button there. Just give me, let us have your email address. Nobody else will get it. And since I post maybe once or twice a week, I won't be overburdening you with emails. So make sure you do that. And when you do that, you'll have to confirm. You'll get an email to confirm that it was actually you subscribed. So make sure you do that. Well, this is it. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. A powerful earthquake in Afghanistan has killed at least 1,000 people and injured more than 1,500 others. Tanya J. Powers has the story.
Officials say the death toll from the early morning magnitude 6.1 earthquake is expected to rise. It's the deadliest since 2002 and struck a rural mountainous region of eastern Afghanistan near the Pakistani border. An emergency meeting has been convened at the presidential palace to coordinate relief efforts, and the UN's resident coordinator says, quote, help is on the way, but it may prove to be difficult. Following the Taliban's takeover of the country last year, many international humanitarian groups left after the U.S. military and its allies withdrew from Afghanistan. And while there's been an effort to restart airport operations there, nearly all international carriers still avoid Afghanistan, which could make it harder to fly in supplies.
Alabama Republicans have a nominee for the U.S. Senate.
Republicans in Alabama nominate Katie Britt for Senate, who had the seal of approval of Senate leader Mitch McConnell and former President Donald Trump.
Alabama has spoken.
And they didn't pick Congressman Mo Brooks.
They might not have spoken wisely.
Brooks, a longtime Trump ally in the Congress, lost the former president's endorsement after saying he should move on from claims of stolen elections in 2020. Brooks claims Britt won't be a conservative.
Congratulations to the Democrats. They now have two nominees in the general election, Will Boyd and my opponent.
Eben Brown, Fox News.
President Biden stated this week that he's open to a gas tax holiday. The move would knock 18 cents a gallon off the price of gas. Still, David Ditch of the Heritage Foundation says his organization views this as more of a gimmick than a serious solution.
There are a number of different factors that play into why the price of gas has increased so dramatically over the last year. Interestingly enough, a substantial portion of that increase happened before not only the Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but before that invasion was even a serious consideration. We believe that much bigger factors involve the administration's multi-pronged approach to reducing domestic production of oil and gas.
The Federal Reserve doesn't appear to be backing off its plans to continue aggressive interest rate increases to fight inflation. More from Jenny Casola.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell says there needs to be compelling evidence of an inflation slowdown before they will consider changing their strategy of raising interest rates. The Fed raised rates by 0.75 percentage point last week. It's the largest increase since 1994.
At the Fed, we understand the hardship that high inflation is causing. We are strongly committed to bringing inflation back down, and we're moving expeditiously to do so.
Powell also says the American economy is very strong and well-positioned to handle tighter money. Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
Another pro-life organization has been attacked by terrorists, but it's not impacting their mission. More on that from Charlie Butts.
For the second time, the facility of Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life has been attacked, this time with graffiti painted on the building and broken windows. Paul Stark is the organization's communications director.
It was done by a group called Jane's Revenge. At least they're the ones who took credit for it. And they've done these attacks, pro-life groups and pregnancy centers across the country now. And it's certainly troubling to see this violence happening.
But Stark stresses the attacks are ignoring a standout fact, and that is the violence inflicted on preborn children during an abortion.
It absolutely is violent. Abortion often tears these little human beings apart. It's dismemberment or it's poison. It's an act of violence and against a human being who has human rights, someone who has value and is precious and deserves our respect and protection.
Stark says they're grateful the staff is unharmed and it's a certainty the two incidents will not deter them from their mission. That is to save babies and protect women from the harm of abortion. I'm Charlie Butts.
More news online at AFN.net. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Not the